You'll turn there with me. I'm not in the book of Ruth, but I will be, Lord willing, next week. We'll be back in Ruth, the third chapter, but I decided today to divert from that topic in the book of Ruth and to read these verses in Jeremiah 18 and talk about our needs as far as the country is concerned and what we can do. Sometimes we feel like, well, we're just a small number. What could we ever do that could make a difference in our nation? Well, you might be surprised. As a matter of fact, God has often used the small, the least. He often uses those that may feel like that they are weak and insignificant to do wonderful things, great and mighty things. So never minimize what God might do through your life or even through our church, through the body of Christ in this nation. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 7. At what instant? It's really a phrase that means at any moment, I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turns from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now, therefore, go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Now, this is a disheartening and a very sad response to an opportunity that God was giving to Israel. He was speaking to them and saying, if you'll turn back to me, all of your failures, all of your sins, everything you've done, if you'll turn back to me, then I will pronounce good. I will work in your favor. I will bless you if you will turn toward me. But here's a picture of stubbornness. They were obstinate. They were determined to go their own way. They said, no, there's no hope for us. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to walk after our own devices. We will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. Wow. When God gives a nation an opportunity, then they reject it and they refuse it. How disturbing that is to think that that can happen. I don't want to spend all the time this morning talking about the evils and the woes of our country, because I think we're all pretty much aware of the direction of our nation and where we are right now as a country. I think we do, so I won't spend a lot of that time, but I do want to talk for just a moment and remind you that there are some things that we can do as the people of God. There are some things that we can do. I believe that we are, last year at this time, whenever we ask you to join with us to pray for America, to pray for our nation, I do believe that in this last year or so, we've definitely been living on the mercies of God. We are surviving now as a country on the mercies of the Lord. We don't know how long that mercy will endure. We really don't. Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Thomas Jefferson. So he recognized many of our founders, many of our early leaders were men who acknowledged God. They understood that God was important in our nation. I'm not saying that they all were right and pure, that they did everything right and just. I'm not suggesting that at all. I know that there were many failures that they had, but one bottom line philosophy that our founders had was they acknowledged God's place in the country. They acknowledged his place in this nation. So I believe we are really standing at a crossroads in America. Things that are happening in our nation and have been happening for quite some time in our nation, actually for 50 or 60 years, things that have been happening in our nation have been turning us, moving us further and further and further and further away from a righteous cause. We know that a righteous nation is exalted, but sin is a reproach to any people. And any time that a nation moves away from God, as Israel did there in Jeremiah chapter 18, that when they say, no, we're not going to listen to the voice of God. No, we're not going to pay attention to what is right. No, we are not going to live righteously. We are not going to do the things that we know to do. When a nation just persists and persists in their stubbornness against God, then a nation is in serious trouble. It's in serious trouble. And we are, as a country, in very serious trouble. But thank the Lord that our hope is not in politics. Our hope is not in government. Our hope is not in economy. Our hope is in truth. Our hope is in the word of the Lord. Our hope is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to place our confidence in today. Put our trust in the Lord. Amen. And America is a nation that was founded, and those pilgrims that landed there at Plymouth Rock and began those settlements in those early days, those pilgrims came to this country because they wanted freedom to be able to worship. I know that they're trying to redefine that much of our society today, but the fact is many, many, many people who traveled to different nations to establish new settlements, they did it because they were after gold. They were after all types of natural resources. They were seeking ways to advance them and their own companies. But this was a group of people that came because they wanted freedom from a government that was demanding them to have an allegiance to the Church of England. They wanted to be able to worship God according to the dictates and the conscience of their own heart. And so they weren't after gold. They were after God. They were after the things of God. And so America can, if America can turn back there and pivot back toward God, and a lot of people I know, and maybe some of you here today, you have the opinion, well, I don't know that that can happen. Are we too far gone? Well, if we would understand what God's word says about the power of prayer and what prayer can do, when the church begins to pray, God has promised us that if we will call upon the name of the Lord, he will hear us. He will hear us. And we know that revival comes. And a revival is just a turning back to God. That happens when the church moves forward, when the church humbles themselves, when the church prays, when the church seeks God and turns away from their wicked ways, then God will begin to work mightily in the nation. Amen. Yeah, we are at a crossroads right now. We're celebrating 245 years. Not very many governments or civilizations have lasted even 200 years, but we're at year 245. And yes, I have to admit that we are plummeting away from God and toward becoming a secular, wicked, ungodly, godless type society. Is God going to ignore that? Is he ignoring that? Not at all. His eye is upon us. His eye knows what's going on in this nation. And only God can bring us out of this situation. As I said earlier, we're living on mercy right now. We're not at judgment yet, or not ultimate judgment yet. We're living on the mercies of God. We're teetering on the brink of judgment in America. And I know that sounds really, really gloomy and sad, but I want to get really quickly here some things that we can do as a church. Do you know that more than half of America claims to be a member of a Christian church? More than half of America. Now, if that is true, I don't know if it's true or not, but if it is true, if one half of America that believes and professes to be a part of a Christian church, if that, even just a small percentage of that group, would determine that they were going to turn with their whole heart toward the Lord and seek after the Lord with their whole heart, it would be completely powerful to change the direction of our nation. Let me just read you a few lines from our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator. That's in our documents. That's in our documents. That God is our source. Endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. You'll see this repeated reference in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, that it was those founders who put their life and their livelihood, everything on the line to take the stand that they did. And they did it because they believed that God had to be at the center of the nation our hope and our trust. We have to put our trust in the Lord, our complete confidence in the Lord as a nation. It's like someone that is physically sick. When a nation gets sick, there has to be action taken. If someone gets really sick and you ignore it, then you know what the outcome is going to be. That person is going to get sicker. And if there's no treatment, if there's no effort to turn that sickness around, then things are going to go further and further in the direction of that person's life and health. So we have to admit the fact that our nation is in need. Our country is in need, and there has to be something done to change the direction. Really, three Supreme Court decisions in America have been shattering, have done so much damage to the direction of our country. In 1962, the Supreme Court decision to remove prayer and the Bible from the public arena, from public schools, from public buildings, removing it out of the public arena. That was 1962. Then in 1973, a Supreme Court decision that legalized the murder of millions and millions of babies. More than 60 million have been murdered legally in America since that time. And that's a dark cloud of judgment that hangs over us in this country, the legalization of abortion. And then in 2015, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of same-sex marriage. And that seems to be the rule of the land, the law of the land Those three Supreme Court decisions that were like in the face of God, right, in the face of the Word of God, everything that we stand for, removing prayer, removing God from the public place, and then the murdering, the destroying of millions of lives, and then that third decision legalized same-sex marriage in our country. And now they say that more than 60%, I don't know that I can believe this or not, but they say that more than 60% of Americans now think that's okay. That's all right to have that kind of an immoral relationship. That's why we are moving in the direction of the judgment of God. What can we do? Is there hope? Well, Israel said, there's no hope for us. We are just going to wallow in our wickedness. We're just going to follow through with that and go in that direction away from God. Isaiah 5 and 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So what can we do? What can we do? We're at the crossroads in our nation. Is there anything that we can do? There's no way I would not have wasted your time on a Monday night prayer meeting if I did not believe that prayer can make a difference. I do believe that it can make a difference. Historically, in our country, there have been several great awakenings in our nation, and they were the direct result of the people of God calling upon God and asking God to change the course and the direction of the nation. He has done it three or four times, maybe more than that. There have been several great awakenings in America. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible that God can burden the hearts of the people of God, and churches across this country begins to cry out to God and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, turn us in the direction toward you. Turn the hearts of our leaders toward you. Awaken them to righteousness and cause them to see that they need you, Lord. And so there has to be prayer. What can we do? There has to be prayer for a spiritual awakening in this nation. Who does the praying? The people of God. The people of God. I'm not expecting them to be praying in Washington. If they do, I'm grateful for it. But where it has to begin is in the house of God. It has to begin with the people of God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. That's where it has to begin. The people of God have to pray. They have to seek the face of the Lord. They have to turn from their wicked ways. They have to call upon the Lord, and he promises, if you'll do that, I will hear you. I will hear your prayers. I'll respond to your cry and to your willingness to cry out to the Lord. You know, when we pray, we're admitting, Lord, we cannot solve this problem. When we pray, we're saying, Lord, no amount of activism, no amount of trying to be out there, you know, in the public and change the course of the direction, no amount of activism can do this. It's really easy to get people to be activists, but it's very difficult to get people to be spiritual and godly and to be willing to cry out to the Lord. And so one of the most powerful things that we can do is cry out to the Lord, call upon the name of the Lord. The very next verse there from that famous verse that we quote often from 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, 2 Chronicles 7 and 15 says, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. There's the promise. He says, if you will call on me, if the church will cry out to me, my eyes will be on you. I'll pay attention to that. I'll hear your voice. I'll respond to the cry of your prayer. We've had, over the last year, on Monday evenings, we have had sometimes 20-some people here praying. Most of the time, it's more like 8 or 10, maybe 12 that have prayed. And I know that some others have mentioned to me they can't come to the church, but that they are praying at their home at that same time. We must cry out to God. We must call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I can point my finger, and we're all guilty of this, pointing our finger at those that are in office and saying they're wicked, they're evil, they're doing wrong, they're going the wrong way. And that really doesn't accomplish a whole lot. But I want you to know that if you'll cry out to God, if you'll get on your knees, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, and if the church across this nation would see the power and the potential of us praying and calling upon the Lord, we will get the attention of God. He says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears will attend unto your prayer." Praise God. If you'll just seek the face of the Lord. So we will be continuing with our Monday prayer effort. And I ask you all to join with us. Been a number of people, even from the community, that have dropped into these prayer meetings. I guess they've heard about it, maybe on the radio or however. But we've had people from the community. Actually, Dean and Kelly Gray, who come a lot to some of our services, attend a Baptist church out in the county, that they started coming and visiting during those prayer meetings and coming in on Monday night and praying. And that was God doing a work in their heart. And if churches across the county and across the state and all over this nation would call upon the Lord, that would make a difference. That would make a big difference in our nation. I know it seems really simple just to say, well, folks, we just need to pray. But I mean, if we would take it to heart and see the importance and the power of the church praying. Amen. Something else that the church can do, I believe that we need to return back to holy living. The church needs to return to living holy lives before the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And when I say that the church needs to return to holiness, I'm really just simply saying that we need to return back to godliness, to being like him, and living in such a way that we are not going to allow the world to influence us. We're not going to be sucked into the thinking and the ways of this world, but instead we are going to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. I'm not talking about pleasing everybody else. I'm just talking about living a holy life that's pleasing to Jesus. Living a holy life that pleases him, that calls you out of the world and causes you to draw nearer to him and to become more like Jesus. Then that life can have an impact upon the world. Amen. As we are living a Christ-like life, then we will once again have influence. And that's an important thing, because our influence in the world is not like the influencers that you hear about in the world today. There are people that have, you know, these different online sites and presence. There are people that get paid to just put on the clothes of some company and take their picture and advertise for that company. And they get a check in the mail because they are an influencer. They are influencing people to buy that product. I'm talking about common people. I'm not talking about models. I'm talking about common people, people that you might even know, that are doing this kind of thing because they have learned the power of that medium to be able to influence the world. Influence the world. So we don't influence like those of this world do, but Jesus called us to be influencers. We're to be salt in the world. We're to be light in the world. We're to be actively influencing the society and the culture by living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If we don't have our effectiveness, if we are not real and genuine in our commitment to the Lord, we lose our effectiveness. As a matter of fact, he says, you're good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the feet of men. And then it says in verse 14 that we're to be the light of the world. Both of these are illustrations of the kind of effect that the church is supposed to have upon the society and the world and the culture. We're the light of the world. We're a city set on the hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Light, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And when I talk about influence, salt, and light, I don't mean that we go out there and we rail on the world and we point our finger at the world. Not at all. I'm talking about the power of a godly life. The power of kindness. The power of purity. The power of being a godly person in the world, in your community, in your neighborhood, that you just, you serve God with purity and honesty before men. And as a result, you have power to influence the world. So we have power through prayer. We have power through our holy life. We have power as we are salt and light in the world. And should we speak up? Certainly. Certainly we should speak up. Christ has called us to be a voice for a righteous cause in these last days. Amen. And so as Christians, we must be bold to speak out against sin. More and more, we are going to be put in a position that we are going to have to publicly say, no, this is not the way of the Lord. This is not the righteous way of the Lord. We are not going to follow that. Even if it is, you know, the dictates and the determination of government, and if it is causing us to go against the principles of God's word, we may be moving into a time that we're moving closer and closer to a time that we must be willing to speak out and to be bold to speak out against sin. Amen. To declare the truths of the word of the Lord. Daniel 11:32, the last part of that chapter, it says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong. The word there means courageous, and do exploits. The word means that we're bold. We are daring. We are even heroic. We're determined to do the right thing no matter what. We're like Daniel, who was willing to pay the ultimate price to stand for God, to live out his life for the Lord. Really, all that Daniel was doing 3 times a day was honoring God, praying, and calling on the Lord. He opened the window. It was a public thing that Daniel knew God and wanted to worship and call upon his God. And that became the point of real contention. Let me just say this. Wherever you draw the line, that will be the battleground. Wherever the line is drawn, that'll be the battleground. Whether that's in your personal life, your family, your church, wherever the line is drawn, that's where the battle will be. So why not just draw the line where God draws the line? Draw the line where the Word of God draws the line. Because if you will draw the line according to the word of the Lord, be courageous, Be bold, stand for a righteous cause in a world that's filled with wickedness. Stand for what's right, and you may find yourself in a struggle and in a battle, but if you are, you know that you have God by your side. Amen. Praise the Lord. The people that do know their God will be strong. They'll be courageous. We're going to have to be courageous in this age. When people are afraid of getting canceled, they're afraid, oh, if I stand with this group, then that's going to put me in a position where I might lose my friends, or I might lose my job, or I might lose if I take a stand for what is right. But that is the only way that we're going to turn this world and this culture and this nation back toward the Lord, is if there's a people of God that are courageous and bold to stand for what is right. If we back up and we're silent, and too much of that has happened since 1962. A lot of people got upset about the fact that they removed prayer from the schools, but a lot of people were willing to let that happen, and they did not speak out against it. Thankfully, right now, what we're seeing somewhat in our culture today is that people have just about had enough. And there are a lot of people that are going right into their school boards, and they're going right into the public place and saying, no, no, no. We are not going to go this direction. We are not going to allow this to control and determine the direction. Now, certainly we are to be Christians in every way, but that means we are to be like Daniel, courageous. Take a stand. Be bold. Doesn't mean you have a bad, ungodly spirit about it, but you're bold and you're strong and you're able to do exploits. That means you are bold and daring and able to do some wonderful and mighty things for God if you will just take a stand. Amen. For the Lord. Amen. As I said, when I read this text, so disturbing. God says, at any moment, do you know that God can start turning things around? If the people of God will pray and not lose heart and not give up. There's a lot of people that I talk to, they really don't believe that there's any way that things can be turned. I believe it, and that's why I pray about it all the time. And I want to encourage you, let's pray, let's call upon the Lord, let's live godly lives, let's be a godly example, let's let our light shine, let's let the salt shine. Let's be the salt of the earth. Let's make an impact upon our world and pull this nation back from the precipice and get a hold of God and believe God. Amen. For an outpouring of His Spirit. He says, at what instant, at what moment, I shall speak concerning a nation. God has an opinion about America. God has a voice to say, I'll speak concerning the nation. Verse 8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced. Here is a nation that's already under the pronouncement of God's judgment. If they turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. It's already pronounced. That's where we are. I mean, if we keep going in the direction we are, America is facing severe and serious judgment. But God says, at that very moment, at any moment that the church begins to cry out to me, if you'll call on me, I will hear. Even though it's the judgment has been pronounced and declared, I will turn away from that judgment. I'll turn away from that, and I'll hear your prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's upon that wonderful promise that we stand today. Would you stand with me? And we're praying for our nation. Like I said, every Monday evening at 6 o'clock, we're praying for our country. And I ask you to come and join with us in prayer as we believe God to continue to turn our nation back to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Amen. As this group here this morning, if we could just pray together for the United States of America, this nation that has been so such a testimony to all of the earth of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The mercies of the Lord. Praise God. So let's call upon the Lord here today and once again for our nation. And continue to do that every time you pray. Lord, bless our country and help us to turn back to you. Praise God. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we're so blessed. We're so grateful to live in this nation. We're so grateful, Lord, that we can live in this country, a nation under God. And Lord, I know that there are many in our country that are far away from you. Many of them make a mockery of God and the Bible and the things of God. But Lord, I know what you have done in the past. And I know what your word says. So Lord, we're crying out to you today. And we're asking you, Lord, to turn our nation back to you. I know, Lord, it's impossible through any man-made efforts, through any activism, through anything that we can do, Lord, in our own flesh. But I know, Lord, that if we cry out to you, you can move. You have promised, Lord, that your eye will be upon us, and your ear will hear our cry, and that you will hear us, Lord. Oh, God, we need you so desperately. We need you so desperately in our nation. I pray, Lord, for another spiritual awakening across America, just like there have been in the past. Groups of people that gathered and prayed, and you moved, Lord. Lord, and the nation was turned back to you. The nation was turned back to a righteous cause and a righteous purpose. I know you can do it again, Lord. Oh, we're asking you to do it, Lord. Your people, we join with other churches right now that are praying all over this nation on this Independence Day. Lord, we join with them, Lord, in crying out to you and asking you, Lord, would you work? Would you move? Would you turn the hearts of people toward God? Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, would you stop the progress of evil? Lord, in every evil purpose and every design of the enemy, Lord, stop it, we pray. And Lord, grant, Lord, grace and mighty power, Lord, for your people. Glory to God. Help us, Lord, to be worth our salt. Help us to be, Lord, a bright, shining light. Help us to live holy lives. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, would you help us to be courageous? Help us, Lord, to do great exploits for you in these times. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I trust everyone has a wonderful Independence holiday. As you know, there will be no service tonight. But we'll be back on schedule Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, calling upon the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. You may be dismissed from the service.